another episode of the Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy. In each episode of this podcast, I talk to an author about what inspired them to start writing and what tips they would give other aspiring authors. Today is Bobby Nash, an award-winning author of novels, comic books, short stories, screenplays, and much more across a range of genres including crime, action, and thrillers. Bobby has over 150 writing credits to his name, and he has so much to share about writing as a career that this interview is a little bit longer than the usual episodes. We also had a couple of technical and dog-related interruptions, but please do stick with it as it's a fascinating insight into the life of a full-time writer. It's really lovely to meet you today. Coming all the way from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, I live about 50 miles east of Atlanta.
Fantastic. You are my first American podcast guest. So woo-hoo. Brilliant. Yeah. So you have over 150 book credits. I don't want you to tell me about all of them, but tell me a little bit about the kind of things you write.
Well, I've written a lot of stuff over the years, and those credits are broken up over novels, short stories, comic books. I've written those. I've written a couple of short films and things like that as well. But mostly what I write these days are novels and novellas. Mm-hmm. I try to write comics when I can, but you know, I've written a lot of multiple genres over the years, but mostly these days I'm writing a lot of crime fiction,
my
thrillers,
favorite.
Things like that. Yes. I like to kill people. It's, you know, it's very,
don't we all? We all love to read about people being killed. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. My brother used to tell people that I killed people for a living before he would tell them I was a writer. And yeah, so
that's a good conversation stuff.
And yeah. Well, he told we had a younger cousin who was much younger than us. And he told her that once, and she wouldn't come around me for a while because she thought he was serious.
He got your axe ready at the door.
Cause he told her, he says, "What?" Well, yeah. He's like, "Well, how do you think he researches all these people he kills? He does it for real." And
but, God, that's cruel.
Yeah, but I write a lot of thrillers and crime fiction and action. I love writing action, car chases and fist fights and gunfights, and that's just as much fun for me as the suspenseful thriller part is as well. I really love that. I love the action stuff. So those are the genres I work in most, but I still do other genres as stuff comes in. I'm what they call a hybrid author, I guess. I do stuff myself, like the stuff you see here, the posters on the wall, those are books I publish. But I also work for publishers like the Domino Lady over here. You know, I don't publish her. So I do work for publishers and myself. So I'm somewhere, there's a lot of juggling involved.
We'll come on to publishing later, but that's really interesting that you do a bit of both.
Working for publishers, I work in a lot of different genres because I may get a call that says, "Hey, we need a science fiction story," or "We need a horror story," or whatever, and I can do that, you know. So it kind of scratches the other genre itch, and then I go back to my thrillers. It also allows me to play with characters that other people have created. Like at the moment, I'm working on a short story for an anthology featuring the Lone Ranger.
Is Tonto in it as well?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Good.
So yeah. So I'm writing them now. That I just started on that. That's been fun because I watched those as a kid, and you know, you kind of relive. Like I hadn't seen any of that since I was a kid, so I've recorded a bunch of the episodes. There's a cable channel here that plays them at like 2 a.m. So I've recorded a bunch of them and rewatched. And so I've sat and watched a lot of old Lone Ranger stuff to kind of get me in the mindset of the characters.
Cool. Quite nice when you get to watch TV as part of research for your book.
I know, right? I wish that happened more often.
Yeah, definitely. So what inspired you to start writing in the first place?
As a kid, I was fascinated by comic books. And I had my grand dream was to be a comic book artist. So I started drawing. And well, I started writing to have things to draw. The problem was, is I'm not that good an artist. So eventually I started writing stories for other artists. And so that actually led to me getting hired by a publisher and doing some writing for some of their books. And then, while I was doing that, and I would have been happy to just do comics the rest of my life. But at some point during that, I was like, I wonder if I could write a novel. And so I sat down and I wrote what turned out to be a fairly awful novel, you know, but they always say your first one's crap. Yeah, in my case, that is absolutely true. But I finished it. And as you know, when you finish it, then suddenly you feel empowered to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried it a second. I said, I'm going to write another novel, you know, taking what I learned doing this one. And so I wrote a novel. I actually took some night classes, some creative writing classes. There was a great one at the local college. It was called Murder and Mayhem for Fun and Profit. And it was all about writing murder mysteries and thrillers. And so I took the class a few times, and, you know, it was very helpful because it wasn't just a, you write and turn it in. You discussed it with the group. You read in front of the group and got the instant feedback. Then you got feedback from the teacher as well. And I was terrified. I was very shy when I was much younger. I'd have never been able to do this when I was younger. No. Yeah, even though I'm sitting in a room by myself, yeah, having to read in front of 20 or 30 other people suddenly helped me get over some of that.
Mm.
It took a while because I would read. I wish I had something in front of me for effect, but I would read. I would hold a piece of paper up in front of my face and read. And there was a lady in the class who started sitting next to me. We became buddies and we were talking, and she would sit next to me. And as I would start to read, she would reach over and she would put her hand on mine and push my hand down. So I, you know, and eventually just to make her, just to make her stop, I would read without the paper up, and it helped me get in the habit of looking at, you know, the people. And so that was very helpful. And so I wrote that novel, which turned out to be my first novel sale. It took quite a number of years. I wrote it, and I think in like 6 months. Mm. And then I spent like 5 or 6 years trying to sell it before I sold it. It wasn't the best experience. It ended up being a terrible publisher who's no longer in business. Mm. Terrible publisher. And just an awful experience on that side of things.
Oh.
But I had a book in my hand.
Yeah.
And having that book, I used that book to talk to other publishers because, you know, no one wants to be the guy that hires you first, you know?
Yeah, it's chicken and egg, isn't it? It seems chicken and egg. You have to have a book published to get a book contract, to get a book published. Yeah. So how do you start?
So as awful as the publishing side of it was, having that book open doors, which led me to getting some short story work. And I did quite a bit of short story work while I was working on another novel. And there was like that nice step stool. This book led to this book, which led to this, you know. So even though that was an awful experience, that awful experience led to good experience because
good.
You know, I had something in my hand.
Yeah. So how do you go about writing a book? I mean, I know some people take a whole lifetime to write a book. Some people do it. You said you wrote that first one in 6 months. Do you plan it? Do you dedicate time to it? Is it as and when you feel like it? How do you go about it?
Well, in the early days, you know, it was, you know, you did it around work and all those things. And I'm pretty obsessive about these things. When I know I'm going to do it, I will put everything into doing it. So every spare minute of the day I have would go into working on that book. Nowadays, I do this full time, but I also, I take care of my father. I take care of him. Which is almost a full-time job in and of itself. But I write around that and I, you know, other things, but I also, because I also do a little acting, I do a little art on the, you know, I started drawing again a few years ago, and
yeah.
So I try to draw whenever I can. And I'm still not like, no one's going to hire me to draw comics, but I can still doodle enough to, you know, and so I do all that stuff. But now, I mean, I have schedules because not only do I have the stuff that I publish myself, you know, scheduled, I also have work coming in from other publishers. So it's not uncommon for me to be working on four or five things at a time.
Wow.
And yeah, it's like I'll have, cause right, like right now I have two novellas in various stages. I have a short story and I have a serialized novel where I'm doing a chapter a week that I'm running on my Patreon page. Okay. And then, but around that, I'm also plotting other, you know, future projects. Mm. And then, you know, as you know, you'll be working on something and then the publisher sends edits to you. So you have to stop. And so there's a lot of juggling there. And, you know, sometimes I think I work on too many things and it does bog you down. But the way my brain works is like, if I get to I'm writing on book A, and I get to the point where I need to stop, I can either be done for the day, or if I jump over to book B, I can keep working because that's fresh in my mind. Mm-hmm. So having the multiples helps me. I'm not an outliner. I just can't. My brain will not process an outline well. If I do a full outline and then try to write it, I lose interest because I feel like I've already written this story.
You know where it's going. You like the surprise element.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I do is I have plots. I don't strictly I'm not a strictly pantser. I do have plots. I know these things need to happen. And so I use like bullet points and I just put them at the bottom of my manuscript and go, here's what's happened. Got to happen. Then I go to my character and I go, okay, I know which character is our character here. You need to go there. And it's like, I point them toward that first plot point and I see how they take me there. So I can have that pantser feeling by following them because they may take you instead of a straight line. They may go this way and around. So the element of discovery and surprise comes from seeing how the characters deal with the plot I drop them in.
Okay.
So that kind of somewhere in the middle. Yeah. I've heard the term plantser, but I don't like it.
No, it doesn't work.
It doesn't sound good. Yeah. But yes, but I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, just like with the publishing thing, it's the hybrid. I guess I'm somewhere in the middle.
Ah, and,
I've been doing this long enough. It works for me. Yeah.
Hmm. How do you cope with doing that then when you've got when you're writing several books at a time? Do you not get the plots mixed up? Do you not? I think I get characters mixed up in the books.
not really. It is weird. Occasionally, I will be doing something like, okay, there's something happening over here in this book, and then I'll have something similar happen in this book. And go, wait, stop that. But for the most part, I'm pretty lucky. I can keep it straight in my mind. And I don't really get the characters confused and forget who's in what or forget the plot. It's weird. I can't remember what I did last Tuesday, but plots I've been working on for a year, they're in there. No problem.
I keep
pretty good notes at the bottom that helps with, you know,
right.
The biggest thing for me is with books, just like in real life, is remembering people's names. Terrible with names, so I have to make sure all the cast is at the bottom, you know, of the manuscript, because like, I'll be like, oh crap, what's that guy's name? Scroll down, look, and go back up. or I'll just in parentheses put name with a question mark and go back and fill it in later.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think doing that means you can keep the flow going, can't you? And rather than stopping and coming out of flow and looking something up and going back into it.
Yeah, because man, once you stop, it's sometimes it's hard to kickstart again. And
I was gonna say flow is really important. I think once you get into it, you want to stay in it until you reach the end of it, don't you? You don't want to you don't want to come out of it. You've said a few times now that you've done kind of hybrid when it comes to publishing, so just tell me a bit more about how it all works for you and maybe the pros and cons of the different ways of working.
Okay, well I started self-publishing when Evil Ways, which was my first novel, when I got my rights back from the terrible publisher, I shopped it around to a few other publishers, and I just, nothing worked. And when I published, when Evil Ways was published, print on demand and doing it yourself was kind of looked down on. This was in the 90s. You know, it wasn't as accepted as it is today. It was very much a, you know, oh, you published it yourself? Well, you must not be good enough to get hired by a real publisher. You know, it was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so self-publishing it was not even an option or an idea when it came out. So when I got my rights back, I shopped it around to other publishers, and just nothing was, you know, either the deals weren't good, or I argued with one over cover, because man, the cover for the original was horrible. And you know, that was it's Evil Ways. It's a suspense murder mystery. Okay. Thrillers. People are dying right and left. It's called Evil Ways. My cover was light brown with Evil Ways in pink with pink polka dots behind it. That was the imp.
Oh no.
It was horrible.
I can tell this still sits when I was shopping with you now.
All it these does. This and is I talked to other publishers, and I mentioned the cover issue, and they would like do a mock-up. It'll look like this. And I was like, no, it won't. I was just like, and so after realizing that, you know, I want this to, you know, I know what I want. Someone says, why don't you just do it yourself? And I was like, that is an option today. That was a viable option at that time. And so I started my self-publishing company just to get Evil Ways back into print.
Yeah.
So I did a new cover, which I liked. And later I did another cover for the 10th anniversary, which I love, the cover that's on it now.
Yeah.
And
No dots.
It's the cover now. Oh, I wish I had it handy to reach, but it's an all black cover now with Evil Ways in big white broken letters, you know, with a blood splatter behind Evil, and the blood splatter runs down behind Evil Ways and into a shape of a chalk outline. Only it's the blood making the chalk outline, and then my name at the bottom. And it's
much more appropriate for a murder book.
Right. And I'm doing a second book with the same character now. So for the branding, Evil Intent is the second book. It's got the exact same layout with the blood spatter under, but then it comes down, because in this one, the main character is an FBI agent. In the second one, he's dealing with a domestic terrorist. And so instead of a blood outline of a body, it's a blood outline of the United States. And so so there's branding now when they're sitting next to each other. You can tell that's part of a series. So I started doing it just to get that out. And then I did a couple of other things. Like I wrote a novel called Deadly Games, which is also a standalone novel, but some of the characters from Evil Ways appeared in it.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, just so it's not confusing, I'll do that one myself too. And so the self-publishing stuff started just for when I had ideas for projects, and then I would do most of my work for publishers. And then over the last about 2019, I decided to really give it a go. And that's when I started doing things like Snow and In the Wind and various things like that I could publish do myself and keep ownership of myself. And it's also kind of a shared universe too, like Snow and In the Wind and Evil Ways and Deadly Games all kind of exist in the same world, and secondary characters sometimes switch between them and things like
nice.
That.
Yeah.
So it's built this little universe there, but I can do stuff like that. And with a few other characters, I can do stuff on my own. And those are things that I have, you know, I may make less money on them at one time. Like when you do a lot of work for publishers, we'll give you $100 to write a short story, or we'll give you this to write this. With the doing it myself stuff, it's slower coming in. It trickles in the money, but I also own these properties. So there's the possibility something could happen with them down the road. You never know. I mean, so But it's yeah. So I like playing with both. I like, you know, I'm a one man band. I wouldn't want to be a full time publisher, publishing a lot of other people. And although I just recently this year started publishing other people's stuff, but with my characters.
Okay.
The snow books are an action adventure. Yeah. The snow books are an action adventure novella series. They're 30,000 word novellas that come out 3 or 4 times a year. I offered some authors that I know the chance to write a 10,000 word, you know, short with some of the characters, and we will release them as like 99 cent ebooks. And so it allows them to play with characters in that universe. Mm. And then we'll collect them, every 3 of them. It'll be the same size as a novella. So it'll just be, they'll slot into the novella series. So it's interesting seeing other writers write your characters.
I bet that's quite brave as well, because they're your characters. You must feel quite a sense of care for them, a sense of love for them, and to have other people mess around with them. It's kind of like sending your children out. And
it is equal parts exciting, because you're really curious you're curious how other writers are interpreting what you've done. Mm. So it's exciting on that part, but then on the other side, it's absolutely terrifying. Especially, it's like, you know, my biggest fear was like, what if they write my characters better than I do?
Oh no.
You know, that's but so far we've only done 2. I've gotten 2 in right now from other writers. Mm. That are, and they were both absolutely fantastic. You know, cause I go over them, and, you know, I do the edits on them, and maybe tweak something there, or it's like, this character would, you know, this is, or whatever. But for the most part, I haven't had to do a whole lot of this character wouldn't do that. Or so it's really fun. I'm curious to see, as more writers start turning theirs in, what they do. And with it being a short story, they don't have to be about the main guy.
I
told them, I said, if you want to do a short story about one of the secondary characters, and, you know, here's the Bible, here's all the characters. So the first one that came out, Gary Phillips wrote one that uses Snow's buddy in a story by himself. I wrote one that features Snow, and then Nicole Givens Kurtz wrote one for a character we've only mentioned in the books. We haven't actually seen yet. So that was
fun. Wow.
His mother has been mentioned in the books, but we've not met her yet. So she asked if she could write a story with his mother in a situation. And so I was like, sure. So we worked back and forth too, to make sure, you know, we got the, because like I said, I've not written her yet.
Yeah. So, I was gonna say, yeah, presumably that's going to have a knock on effect then on her development in your books.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to kind of tie in now, I suppose, isn't it?
Right. Cause she and I talked, and, you know, this is what we're thinking, and, you know, this is kind of what she looks like, and, you know, and, you know, she's a free spirit kind of, you know, and this and that. And it's like, but I also left it, you know, to where she could add little bits to it, you know. She came up with a wonderful, like, thriller story, and it just came out yesterday as we record this. It just came out last night. But it's fun. Like I said, it's fun seeing how others play with them, and sometimes they will do things that I go, ooh, I like that.
At this point, my internet decided to die on me, so apologies for the rather abrupt break between topics. On with the interview. Obviously, you've been writing for, well, how long have you been writing for now, actually?
I started writing when I was in high school.
Okay.
But writing professionally, I sold my first, I sold my first comic script in 2000.
Yeah.
Where I actually got paid for it was in 2000. Mm-hmm. I sold my first novel in 2004, and I sold my first short story in 2005.
Okay. So sort of 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Thereabouts. Yeah. So what have you learned about yourself over those years of writing?
I've learned I have more patience than I thought I did.
Okay. That's a good thing.
You know, it's because, you know, for there are ups and downs to publishing, as you know. Mm-hmm. You know, there are setbacks and things don't work right, or, you know, that first horrible publisher experience, you know.
Yeah.
But I learned that, you know, it's really easy. There are times when you get discouraged, and you know, this project did not go as well, or you know, this publisher screwed me over, or this book got canceled, or whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of things. It's easy to get discouraged and want to throw, you know, I'm doing a lot of work. Sometimes I wonder if it's worth it. And I've had those moments, you know, I've had those moments where it's like, is it worth the time and effort I'm putting into this for what's come out of it? And there are days when those thoughts happen. But the fact that I'm still doing it, I'm still every day I sit down at the desk and I pound out some work, and, you know, I love what I do. I love creating these characters. I love, you know, putting these stories out there. I love, you know, getting feedback, you know, getting reviews or someone telling you they liked your book. That's just, you know, I'm sure you've experienced that as well. It's a feeling that's kind of hard to explain, but it makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, like the weirdest thing for me was finding out I had fans. It still seems weird, but finding out that I had fans and who follow my work is pretty cool. But a little, like I said, it still feels weird to me. I haven't quite gotten used to it, but yeah, it is, it's exciting. So there are a lot of those moments where, you know, stuff like that makes me feel, you know, lucky to do what I do. But I still love coming up with stories. So even if I wasn't doing it, the characters and stories would still keep popping into my head. So I have to get them down somewhere. So, I've learned patience. You know, my family might laugh at that, and my friends might laugh at that, but I've learned patience in this regard. I'm still very impatient in other regards, but perseverance, I guess, is probably a better word than patience. Mm. I've learned to keep stick with it, keep going. I've also learned that you can teach yourself to learn a lot. I mean, I am a very self-taught writer. Mm. I've taken a few classes here and there, but I mean, I very much, a lot of it I've picked up and learned. Like Evil Ways, I talked about Evil Ways, my first novel. I always tell, because people always ask, you get the question, what's your favorite novel?
Yeah.
And there are a lot of favorites for different reasons, but I always go back to Evil Ways because I'm like, that is the most me of anything I've written, because when I wrote it, I didn't know what I was doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So all your quirks, all your quirks are in that book because they've not been ironed out through learning how to do it properly. If there is a properly about it.
Yeah, exactly. There's things that I did in that book that I wouldn't do now, or I would do a different way, or, you know, so yeah, it is the most me of anything I've written because I had no idea what I was doing. It was just like, write a book, no problem. I learned how to market, promote. I do a lot of traveling as a result of books, not in the last year or so, but before, you know, I do a lot of traveling, which is really cool, to places I probably wouldn't have thought to go if it wasn't for, you know, traveling because of the books. Mm. I've met some incredible people as a result of writing. So there's been a lot of those type of things. Probably the most important thing that I learned was that if you want to write for a career, you have to treat it like a job. Right. And that was something it took me a while to realize. And I don't remember what caused that aha moment, but I realized that if I want this to be my job, I can't write when I feel like it. I've got to make a, you know, it's like, because you don't go to your day job only when you feel like it. Because if you
that's
do, we'd
true.
Never go.
That's true. You grind out the 9 to 5. If you're not in the mood for work, you still get up and you still go in, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. Yeah.
And so I decided that writing should be the same way. There are days, I still take days off, but there are days when this is the last thing in the world I feel like doing, but I've got deadlines to meet. So you put yourself in the chair, you sit at the desk, you start working. And then once you get into it, you're okay. Mm-hmm. But it takes, you know, that like any job, as soon as it's a job, you look for ways not to do it. even though it's a job I love, it's there. I'm always looking for ways to not work.
Yeah.
You know, what's the old joke where it's like the writer says, today I am going to write, but first you can fill in the blank with whatever they've decided they're going to do. So I've learned, you know, I wish I'd have learned that earlier. I wish I had learned that this is that technically as a small press publisher and a freelance writer, I own a small business. I did not realize that early enough. Right. And I wish when I was in college, I had taken more business classes.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Stuff that I could apply to the business that I now own. You know, I run a business and I, you know, and so I'm self-taught on a lot of these things, which means I learn after I screw something up.
Right. Yeah. as we all do as self-employed freelance entrepreneurs. Yeah.
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, I didn't know I shouldn't do that. Now I know. And so, yeah. So there's been a lot of wonderful lessons I've learned along the way by screwing stuff up or whatever, but it's, you know, I still wish I knew more about business. You know, I say that all the time, but I haven't gone out of my way to go like take business classes.
I was going to say, it's never too late to learn, is it?
Yeah.
If you're that keen, but I guess if you're doing okay without it, then is it time well spent?
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's a lot of trial and error in what we do. I mean, I'm sure you do the same thing. It's like, you don't know what promotion tactic is going to work until you try it, and you try a bunch of them and go, okay, those didn't work. This one did, you know, and the business of books is changing so much to where, you know, it used to be a lot of our promotion went toward, we need to get the bookstores to stock our books.
Yeah.
As an indie writer, I don't worry about bookstores anymore. I would love to go into bookstores and have my book, but as an indie author, I know that's not going to happen. Yeah. So I have to tailor my promotion aspects to go right to readers. It's a constantly evolving thing. And so you're always learning new tricks. And so that's where the perseverance takes off. You can't just be stuck to, I've got to do it this way. You try new things, see what works. And, you know, and I've had some success doing that, trying things that just seem silly.
Yeah.
But they work.
What's the silliest thing you've done then? The silliest marketing promotional thing you've done?
Wow. See, now that I said that, I can't think of that. Well, certainly giving stuff away for free seemed.
It's mad, isn't it? We give away for free. Yeah.
So that seemed odd, but oddly enough, it worked, you know. Hmm. All the stuff that I do on my own, I make them free to people that have Kindle Unlimited. Which, you know, brings in a lot less than if someone bought it.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed how much it brings in because so many people take advantage of that. Or, you know, when a new book comes out, I usually do some giveaways and I've had friends go, why are you giving away books? And I was like, because if 100 people see this thing about a giveaway and they all enter to want to get it, and I give one away, hopefully the other 99 will go, well, I didn't win, but I still want to read it. And I'll go pop down the $2 for the ebook or whatever. So
I think especially when you're writing a series of books as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, the number of crime authors that I've discovered and have become favorites of mine because I've got the first book on an Amazon freebie and I've really liked the first book, and then I've bought every other book in the series, and I've ended up spending quite a lot of money with them. But
yeah, and cause what you really hope is that they'll fall in love with the character and want to keep following the character. And so, yeah, and that's why I always start, like to say, I start with character, you know, because I want you to love these characters as much as I do. So I spend a lot of time trying to make the characters feel real and relatable, you know, because you don't want all characters can't be me, you know, like I can't be you know, if all the characters talk like me or thought like me or acted like me, they would all be quite boring. I don't try to push agendas with my book. My books are my main goal is I want you to read this book and be entertained. If you get anything out of it beyond that, I'm thrilled. Mm-hmm. But I'm not pushing agendas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, characters in the books may have those. And like you know, I'm not a big fan of talking politics and stuff like that, but I may have characters that, you know, and I try not to just do one side. I try to give it some, you know, one guy is this, one guy's, you know, it's never the, it's rarely the main focus of my story because I'm just not a big politics guy. Although I did write one political thriller, but it was about the murder of a politician. So it was more about the murder than anything else.
There's a politics,
But characters have those quirks and those things that make them uniquely them. Mm. I write characters that I love that are the total opposite of me. But I can still get in their heads because I know them now. And so once I know them, they become real people to me.
They're
real characters. I can hear them talk. I can see them do what they do. And so if I try to make them do something that's out of character for them, it feels wrong. And they'll tell me I'm not doing that.
I love this. I've written nonfiction. I've never written fiction, but I love this idea of having these characters that just go and do their own thing, that you give birth to the character and then they take on this life of their own and they run the story. That must be such a magical thing to be working with.
Yeah. And I tell people all the time too, because I know a lot of people that start with plot. Plot's important and plot is important. I'm not against plot, but everything's plot based. And I taught a class once at a writer's conference. Story is when character and plot meet. You know, you can have character and you can have a plot, but you don't get a story until you drop the character into it. And what I would do is I'd say, take your plot, come up with a simple plot, you know, then take three different characters that you know well. They don't even have to be yours. You know, like I was like Captain America, MacGyver, and Rambo, you know, there you go. Three characters off top of my head. Very distinct, very different characters. Drop each of those characters into that plot and you have three different stories.
Yeah, because they're all going to tackle it in different ways, respond in different ways. Yeah, follow different paths. Yeah.
So if you know your characters will develop your plot into a story. And that's very helpful.
Yeah, I'm feeling very, very inspired to go and have a go at writing fiction now.
Nice. My work here is done.
Your work is done. You said earlier about you do a lot of travel now. Like you said, not in the last year, but normally you'd be doing a lot of traveling. How else has your life changed as a result of 20 years of being an author? And here's a dog barking outside the window. Apologies.
it's like dogs love me. I do travel a lot, so I've gotten to visit a lot of, you know, cities, and I've not yet traveled out of the United States. That's on my to-do list, but I haven't got there yet. But but I have traveled a lot of the United States. So I've got to go places that I haven't gone. So that's nice. But one of the biggest things is in doing research, it is amazing how if you call up the FBI, for example, and say, "Hi, I'm a writer. I would love to ask you some questions." And they're like, "Yeah, come on down."
Really? So, wow. You know,
now, I make it simpler. It sounds simpler than it was. They have to do a background check on me and all that stuff first. But I met, I mentioned earlier, I do a little acting. Very little. But I do a lot of background stuff and extra work, but I do some lines and whatnot, you know. So I was working as a background character on this show that was on, I'm assuming you guys probably have seen it as well. Kevin Bacon had this TV show called The Following.
Familiar with that. I'm not a big TV watcher, but
he plays an FBI agent. Well, anyways, I'm in the pilot. I'm an FBI agent in the pilot. And so I'm just running around, you know, delivering stuff and chasing bags, you know, in the background, but you know,
chasing bags.
But there was a real FBI agent on set who was the consultant. And so we had a, you know, shooting a TV or show or a movie is a lot of hurry up and wait. So there's a lot of standing around doing nothing, waiting for them to get ready to shoot. And so at one point the FBI agent is just standing there. And so I walked over and introduced myself and talked to him and told him, I said, I'm a writer. And The Evil Ways is about an FBI agent. And I said, I would love to asks some questions. And so he gives me his card and he says, call me. He says, well, he says, first you got to call this number and you'll talk to somebody, you know, at the main office. Yeah. They will.
If you actually are a writer first.
Yeah. They're going to background check, blah, blah, blah. Once, if they say it's okay, they'll call you and they'll call me and we'll set up a time. Mm-hmm. And so I did all that. I passed. I'm sure I'm on a watch list now, but you know, I got to go hang out for a day with the Atlanta FBI, which was fun. I learned a lot. He had great stories. So I learned a lot of general information. I learned a lot of practical information to go with my story. So that was fun. You know, I've talked with SWAT guys. I've talked with Secret Service agents. I've talked with doctors and lawyers. I have a friend who's a judge. She's a writer as well, but she's also a Superior Court judge. So if I have judge questions, I have friends who are either retired or current detectives. And one of my writer friends used to be an interrogator for the LAPD. So if I have questions, I've met so many people with this amazing amount of knowledge that I can just call up and go, I have a question. But it's amazing how people love to talk about what they do for a living, you know, especially people with jobs that are considered icky, you know. Like we were at a convention and there were like three or four of writers. We were just hanging around one of our buddies' table and this guy comes up and was looking at his books and we're all just chatting and the conversation, the guy goes, oh, well, I'm a forensic photographer. I'm the guy that they bring out to, like, you know, take pictures of dead bodies. And we're like, we have questions. And so suddenly, you know, he's like, great. Cause when I tell people that, usually I get this look like, ugh, you know, and we're over there going, so the smells, because we're fascinated by this stuff because it's
all stuff you need to know for your books to make your books realistic, isn't it? I mean, you need to know how police procedure happens, you know, what the photographer goes through when they go to a particularly icky scene of crime. And it's all good stuff that you can bring into your books.
Yeah, so I've learned a lot just from meeting people, not just people in the business. I've met a wonderful amount of writers. There's a lot of wonderful writers out there I've gotten to know over the years from doing events with them, or, you know, not only, but actors, artists, musicians, people that I see all the time now.
Yeah.
So I've met a lot of wonderful people just from being a writer, you know, people who have become really close, good friends. But I met them because I was somewhere because I was a writer.
Yeah.
And so those are one of the things that, you know, has helped. It's been a big blessing. If nothing else comes out of this, I've made some lifelong relationships that, you know, are wonderful. It is cool too, when you know other creative people, understand what you're going through. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm having a problem with a story and I can't make it work, if I tell any member of my family, they look at me like, what? You know, because they're not creative, you know, they're not in the creative field. But I can call up one of my buddies who's a writer and I can bend their ear for 10 minutes about this, and then they'll go, well, have you tried? And then a light bulb goes off, you know, problem solved, thank you. Or people that understand the successes. Again, you know, I sold a book to this publisher. My parents go, how's any different from selling it to any other publisher? You know, and I can call up one of my buddies and go, I sold a book to, you know, and they're like, holy crap, that's awesome. You know, so there's, you know, the camaraderie, the community is wonderful.
Yeah.
And it works in the business too. Like I said, I called up a bunch of writer friends and says, hey, I want to do these short stories, these 99 cent ebook short stories. You interested? There's a few that said no for whatever reasons, and that's cool, you know. But there was there were more that said, sure, I'd love to try that, you know. And I know this, and the same works for me. I've had friends call up and go, we're doing this anthology. I need a story. Can you do a story? Nah, no problem. I'll work it in.
And presumably, the biggest change is that you're now a full time writer.
Yes, yes. I got laid off from the day job. And I said, well, you know what? If I was ever going to give it a chance, now would be a good time. So I started writing full time That was in 2011. I got laid off in 2009 for my day job. And the first 2 years were just tremendous. Hmm. And then the economy went.
Yes.
And so then things got a little tough for a few years. And I went back to work. I went back and got a day job. And I had a day job for a while. And then I got laid off from that one. That company got bought by another company that basically bought us for the name and got rid of almost everybody.
Yeah.
So I got laid off from that again. But that was also, I got laid off at the perfect time. I hate to say that, but my mother was going through cancer at the time and my dad was taking her. And my dad had some medical problems that happened the weekend. I got laid off on Friday. He had a problem on Saturday.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
And so then he
timing in a lot of ways. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, suddenly he couldn't drive. So I was able to get my mother back and forth to her appointments, get him to his appointments, things like that. Yeah. So it worked out, but you know, and now I'm doing a lot of the caretaker stuff, as I mentioned. So yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll go back to full-time writing. And it's not always full-time pay. And, you know, it's especially doing it yourself. It's the stuff you do. It's a very feast or famine kind of, you know, you'll sell a lot of books in January. You won't sell anything in February, you know? It's, but you do what you do. And you know, I have a roof over my head. I'm, you know, I eat. I mean,
I say roof over your head and food on the table. What more do you need?
Yeah. You know, I'm able to do this. I'm in a place where I can sit and write well most of the day.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky that, you know, if it was just me on my own, I probably couldn't do it full time. Like I said, but it's not just me on my own anymore, but I love it. It's fun. And you know, it has its, like I said, it has its ups and downs, its feast or famine moments. But
on the whole, it's okay. Yeah. So what advice would you give to anyone listening to this who is thinking, you know, who's maybe always wanted to write a book? What would you say to them?
The advice I like to give is decide what you want it, what you're doing it for, what your goal is. And not just your end goal, set attainable goals. Like at one point there was a time when my only goal was to have someone publish me.
Right.
That was a goal. Well, when I reached that goal, then there was the next goal, you know, decide what you want, because not everybody writes for the same reason. Mm-hmm. Not everyone wants to write as a career. Some people do it just for the fun of it. They do it, put it up on the internet, read it if you want, it's free. Some people will put the book out. If it sells, great. If it don't, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's it. There's a lot of people, that's all they want to do. They do it for the fun of it. It's a hobby or it's therapy or it's whatever, but that's their goal. So, so their goals are different than someone who wants to make a career of it. Mm-hmm. So if you know what you want to do, you can set goals to reach, you know, your end goal. Like, you know, you don't want your first goal to be become a New York Times bestselling author. That's goal 15 or 20. Yeah, that's like 15 or 20 down the line.
Yeah.
You know, my first was have someone publish me.
Yeah.
And because there was a time when, you know, like I said, the do-it-yourself wasn't really an option when I started. So that was a big goal. And it took a long time to make that happen. But it happened. Then the second goal was do it again.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's work for, then it was, I'd like to work with that publisher. That's a goal. Okay. I'd like to work with this person or that's this publisher. That's a goal. I want to write my first novel. I want to do my first sequel. I want, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, I want to start doing conventions or I want to be invited to, you know, I feel I'm in a place I should start teaching at writers' conferences if that's what you want to do. You know, so you can make your plans based on your goals. Yeah. And not so you can't change your mind. You know, say you want to write as a career, you get into it a couple of years and go, man, this was more fun when I was doing it for fun.
Yeah.
You can say, okay, then I don't want to write as a career anymore and change your goals. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to say you can't change it, but figure out what your path is, set some kind of goal. And have fun with it. I mean, because some people will tell you, write to what's popular. And I think that's bad advice.
Okay.
The reason I think that's bad advice is it takes a while to write a novel. And some trends don't last, you know, years and years. You know, some do, some don't.
Yep.
And so say vampires are big right now. And so I'm going to write a vampire novel because vampires are big. And it takes you 6 to 8 months to write that novel. Then you got to start selling it.
Yeah.
Start shopping it to publishers or putting it out yourself, however you want to do it. But at that point, by the time you finish the novel, say the vampire craze is over.
Gone. Yeah.
Now you're trying to sell a book nobody wants. Or you wrote this book about vampires and you're not a big vampire fan, but you wrote this novel because it's popular.
Yeah.
And it becomes a hit. And now you're stuck writing vampire novels the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I love the thrillers, the action thrillers, and mystery and suspense. And so I write a lot of that because I love that. And so even if the books don't sell, I'm happy because I'm writing stuff that I like.
Yeah.
So
I think that's really good advice, though. Write what you want to write, not not what you think might sell. Because, yeah, it is a difficult process. It's a long process. And if you get bored halfway through because you're not writing something that you're enjoying, then what's the point of doing it? Whatever your end goal is, what's the point of doing it if you're not getting some sort of pleasure out of it?
Absolutely. And if you're bored, it's a good chance the reader's going to be bored because
that's true.
That's going to come through.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So it's, I mean, I've written stuff that I didn't care for. I mean, but, you know, usually it's in smaller scale, like a short story. You know, someone says, you want to write a short story with this. And I'm like, okay. And it's not, sometimes you scratch a creative itch. Western novels are not really a big thing here. I don't know if they are where you are, but they're just not. There's 4 or 5 people writing Westerns and that's really it. But I got invited years ago to be part of a Western anthology, writing a short story. Mm-hmm. I've always been curious. So I wrote the short story, scratched that creative itch, and moved on. And so it was fun to allow me to play in genres that I don't normally play in, because, you know, I could write a Western novel and light it on fire. And
but it gave me the opportunity to have a go at it,
yeah, just to see
of the effort of a full novel.
Just to see if you can do it. And anthologies are wonderful for that. You can kind of, like I said, you can play with, you know, you've always wanted to write horror. Okay. Write a 10,000 word horror story. Kind of scratch that itch and see how you like it.
Yeah.
And so there's stuff like that's fun.
Mm-hmm. So before we end this, what's next for you? What do you said you're working on 4 or 5 projects at the moment?
Yeah. Well, I'm currently working on book 6 of the Snow series, which will wrap up the first story arc. I was a little ambitious with the first story arc. The first 6 books, each book is a standalone story.
Yeah.
With an A plot. But it's one big story if you read all 6.
Okay. Yeah.
Which was a little more ambitious than I wanted it to be. Or it should have been. So when I go past book 6, I'm not going to be doing big 6-issue story arcs anymore.
Okay.
So book 6, I'm wrapping that. I'm a little over halfway done with it. I'm doing the Lone Ranger short story I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also doing... what am I doing? I'm doing something else. Oh, I do the serialized Evil Intent. The sequel to Evil Ways is finally coming out.
Okay.
But I'm doing it as a serialized novel on Patreon.
Mm.
So I'm putting out like a chapter a week.
Okay.
And then when it gets done, it'll get released widespread and all that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
But the sign up on Patreon, get an advanced read of it.
Yeah. Because it puts it out. It allows the patrons to kind of give it a first look. They can, you know, they're almost like ARC readers. They come back and go, this didn't make sense, or I love this, or they can ask questions or give me feedback. And so that's nice.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that. As soon as I finish the Lone Ranger story, I have a Domino Lady short story to do. And I have 3 novellas primed and ready to go.
Wow.
After I finish, what am I working? Oh, I'm doing one I can't say. That's what it was. There's one that hasn't been announced yet. So I'm doing it for a publisher that's a... it's a character that they haven't announced it, so I can't either, but it's a sci-fi thing. So I'm doing that novella. And then I've got, like I said, I've got 3 more to do after that. And then I just started plotting the sequel to In the Wind, the second book in the Tom Myers series. Those are mystery, like mystery thrillers. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, the second book is going to start out with somebody witnessing a murder, and we go from there. So, yeah, so I'm doing all that, and that's fun. And then, like I said, the last couple of days I've been putting together the third Snow short. So that wasn't writing, but it was editing and putting putting the production together, and getting the cover art from Jeffrey Hayes, who does our covers, and getting all that uploaded to KDP and all that stuff, and which is it's just a time consuming thing more than anything. So those are all things in production. And in the last couple of years, I fell behind a little on stuff I owed to publishers. With, like I said, with family issues, we had some deaths in the family and stuff with my dad, and then the apocalypse happened, and that didn't help. And that slows you down a little bit. But also in the last year, I didn't do any conventions. I had one day show last year, which is odd for me because I usually do two or three events a month. I went from that to one, and it's been over a year since I've done any kind of event. And those weekends being at home has allowed me to make headway in catching up.
Right.
I'm only a couple of projects behind.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So it sounds like there's lots to come, and you'll by the sounds of it, you will keep producing books. You will keep writing books until you can't write anymore. Until you run out.
I hope so. Yeah. But like I said, it's fun, and I still love doing it. Like I said, there are days where I'd love to do anything else, but but it's but like I said, once I get into it, it takes me, I mean, the biggest hurdle of my day is me. Once I get myself set down and focused on what I'm doing and start working, I'm fine.
Yeah.
The biggest problem is getting me to sit down, not stay off Facebook, stay off, stay off this, don't play that game.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling well. Yes. The mornings I find myself playing some stupid iPad game when I really could be working. Yeah. But we get there don't we?
Don't get on YouTube. Because we'll all say, I'll only do it for a couple of minutes. Then it's 3 hours later.
Yeah. It's been fantastic getting to know you today. Two questions before we go. First of all, for someone who likes crime fiction, which book of yours should they start with?
I tell you what, if you're gonna follow like the Ben Book stuff, Evil Ways is the most me.
Mm-hmm.
Foibles and all. For people that are looking for newer stuff, I would say start with either Snow or In the Wind. Evil Ways is a full regular novel. In the Wind and Snow are novellas. So they are a little easier read to try out.
Yeah.
They don't cost as much. And actually, if you sign up for my newsletter, if you go to my website, bobbynash.com, and sign up for my newsletter.
That was going to be my next question. Where do we find you online?
you get the first Snow book, Snow Falls, for free.
Oh, I shall go there straight away.
Yes. So a freebie there. Also, so anything that I do at Ben Books that I publish myself through Ben Books, which is my initials, but B-E-N are my initials. Ben Books is there's a couple of things that aren't crime fiction. Like I do have a science fiction novel and a couple of other things on there, a comic book. But the Evil Ways, Deadly Games, Snow, In the Wind, they're all in the same universe. So right. You may see people crossing across them.
Yeah.
I keep telling people one day I'm going to just do a big crossover. I haven't got there yet. Because I don't want to do it just to do it. It's got to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, because of the characters, there's an FBI agent, there's Deadly Games are about an Atlanta cop. In the Wind is about this fictional town I made. Snow grew up in that fictional town along with his best friend who was an FBI agent also. So there's some ties.
The FBI crossover agent. Already. Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff like that. I have crossovers more of secondary characters than anybody else, but yeah, I would, Snow or In the Wind is probably a good indicator of what I do these days.
Okay, good place to start.
And like I said, each of them does end. I mean, you get a full story.
Right. That's so frustrating when you're reading a book and you get to the end of it and the crime hasn't been solved and right. you have to buy the next book. Yes.
Yeah. Snow, because Snow was planned as a series. After the story ends, I have an epilogue chapter that leads into the next book. But the main story does get wrapped up in each book. Because I'm like you. I hate getting to the end of a book and reading the words "to be continued."
Worst thing ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me some resolution. And so
frustrating.
So I make sure I wrap up the A plot,
And then there's a little teaser to the next one.
So I want to kind of get you to want to come back or I'll tease things. I know, like in book two, I tease something in some conversation that led to the story that happened in book five, So when you read it all six, like I said, you get one big story. My stuff is available on Amazon around the world. And there's eBooks, paperbacks, and audio for a lot of them. So
we try
to put it out in as many formats as people like. Ooh,
yeah. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you today, Bobby. It's, I'm definitely going to go away and read a couple of these books and maybe become one of your fans. So thank you ever so much.
Well, thank you, Allison, for having me. This has been a blast. And, I hopefully did the USA proud as your first American guest. And
I think you did. First of many, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. This was, like I said, this was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thank you to Bobby for being my guest on the podcast today. You can find his books on Amazon. Just search for Bobby Nash. And there are a whole host of websites where you can find out more about him, including www.bobbynash.com and www.ben-books.com. I'll put the full list in the show notes. You can find out more about me and the services I offer authors on my website, www.theproofferry.com. And you'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with info on how you could be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and leave a review. This has been a Proof Fairy production in collaboration with the dogs Buddy and Casper, who definitely seem to like Bobby. I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author.